Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, join. We were almost late today. We were almost late because my camera was not working, but I got it fixed. Had me stressed after 67 days. That was going to be our first time being late. I clicked it right before it hit 201. All right, we're live today with our daily reading. We're live every single day. Today is day 67 of our Bible in 90 days. We are on Friday starting the New Testament. Can you guys believe Friday will be day 70? We are getting there. We're at the last stretch here. So starting Friday, we will be on day 70, starting the New Testament. And it's just going to be so easy to read. It'll be hard not to preach the New Testament every verse, but it's going to be so nice to read. Nice save. Yeah, my camera was not working. I tried everything, rebooted it, did this, did that, unplug, replugged, do all the stuff. And finally, I got it to work. So praise the Lord. All right, here we go. We're getting there. Day 67. Everybody ready? We're getting into it. We are on Hosea chapter 14. This is the last chapter. And then we're going into the book of Joel. And yeah, let's go for it here. All right. You guys all good? We're in the chat. Everybody loaded? Sound good? Look good? All right. Here we go. Chapter 14, verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. This is Hosea. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer our praises. Assyria cannot save us. Hold on. Let me check one more thing. I'm sorry. I just remembered I reset my... Okay, cool. All right, we're back. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we've made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. The Lord says, then I will heal you for your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I'll be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It'll send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like the beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade, and they will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I'm like a tree that's always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. All right, here we go. Book of Joel. Guys, make sure if you didn't watch last night's live stream, you go watch it. It's misused Bible verses. It was one of my favorite live streams we've ever done. I know I say that every week, but I like it. I liked it. But go ahead. Go watch it. It's last night on the channel. All right. Book of Joel. Here we go. Chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel, mourning over the locust plague. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land. In all your history, has anything like this happened before? Tell all your children about it in years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation after the cutting locusts finished eating the crops and swarming locusts took what was left. After them came the hopping locust and then the stripping locust. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined and all your sweet wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land, a terrible army too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth, the fangs like those of a lioness. It has destroyed my grapevines and ruined my fig trees, stripping their bark and destroying it, leaving the branches white and bare. Weep like a bride dressed in black, mourning the death of her husband, for there's no grain or wine to offer at the temple of the Lord. So the priests are in mourning. The ministers of the Lord are weeping. The fields are ruined. The land is stripped bare. The grain is destroyed. The grapes have shriveled, and the olive oil is gone. Despair, all you farmers. Wail, all you vine growers. The grapevines have... Okay, the grapevines have dried up, the fig trees have withered, the pomegranate trees, palm trees, and apple trees, all the fruit trees have dried up, and the people's joy has dried up with them. Dress yourselves in burlap and weep, you priests. Wail, you who serve before the altar. Come spend the night in burlap, you ministers of my God, and there's no grain or wine to offer at the temple of your God. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the temple of the Lord your God, and cry out to him there. The day of the Lord is near. The day when destruction comes from the Almighty, how terrible that day will be. Our food disappears before our very eyes. No joyful celebrations are held in the house of our God. The seeds die in the parched ground, and the grain crops fail. The barns stand empty and granaries are abandoned. How the animals moan with hunger. The herds of cattle wander about confused because they have no pasture. The flocks of sheep and goats bleat in misery. Lord, help us. The fire has consumed the wilderness pastures. The flames have burned up all the trees. Even the wild animals cry out to you because the streams have dried up. The fire has consumed the wilderness pastures. Locusts invade like an army. Chapter 2. Sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of dark and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has ever been seen before or will be ever seen again. Fire burns in front of them and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. See, right when I go to read the chat, I lose my place. I can't even read the chat without losing my place. All right, here we go. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. Look, they look like horses. They charge like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across the field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. They move in exactly the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? Call to repentance. This is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he'll give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Gather all the people, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. Let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them? The promise of restoration. Then the Lord will pity his people and jealousy will guard the honor of his land. The Lord will reply, look, I'm sending you grain and new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. I will drive away these armies from the north. I will send them into the parched wastelands. Those in the front will be driven to the Dead Sea and those at the rear into the Mediterranean. The stench of their rotting bodies will rise over the land. Surely the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, O land. Be glad now and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness once more. The autumn rains will come, as well as the rain of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you'll have all the food you want, and you'll praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you'll know that I'm among my people Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. The Lord promise of his spirit. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike, and I'll cause wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn to blood before the great terrible day of the Lord arrives, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Judgment against enemy nations. Chapter 3. At the time of those events, says the Lord, when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will judge them for harming my people, my special possession, for scattering my people among the nations, and for dividing up my land. They threw dice to decide which of my people would be their slaves. They traded boys to obtain prostitutes. They sold girls for enough wine to get drunk. What do you have against me, Tyre and Sidon, and you cities of Philistia? Are you trying to take revenge on me? If you are, then watch out. I will strike swiftly and pay you back for everything you've done. You've taken my silver and gold and all my precious treasures and have carried them off to your pagan temples. You've sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks so they could take them far from their homeland. But I'll bring them back from the places to which you sold them, and I'll pay you back for everything you've done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the people of Arabia, a nation far away. I, the Lord, have spoken. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The storage vats are overflowing with wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel. Blessing for God's people. Then you'll know that I, the Lord your God, live in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy forever, and foreign armies will no longer conquer her again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. Water will fill the stream beds of Judah, and a fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple, watering the arid valley of acacias. But Egypt will become a wasteland, and Edom will become a wilderness, because they attacked the people of Judah and killed the innocent people in their land. But Judah will be filled with people forever, and Jerusalem will endure through the generations. I will pardon my people's crimes, which I have not yet pardoned, and I, the Lord, will make my home in Jerusalem with my people. All right, that is the book of Joel. I forgot what book it was, because it was so short. I'm using the New Living Translation, and now we are in Amos. Those pesky allergies got my throat dry. And now our internet is cutting out. Hopefully you all stay on. All right, if you're getting kicked, just refresh. Amos. And again, Facebook's messed up. I don't know what's going on. We literally had 6 viewers on there the other day. It's just cutting out and not buffering. So they've had a big update on their servers. If you're on Facebook, I'm going to keep telling you, move over to YouTube, because Facebook has issues, server issues. All right, Amos. I'm going to say Amos. Chapter 1. This message was given to Amos. I'm just going to say Amos, all right? A shepherd from the town of Tekoa in Judah. He received this message in visions 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam II, the son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. This is what he saw and heard. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The lush pastures of the shepherds will dry up. The grass on Mount Carmel will wither and die. God's judgment on Israel's neighbors. This is what the Lord says. The people of Damascus have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They beat down my people in Gilead and grain and threshed with iron sledges as grain. So I will send down fires on King Hazael's place, and the fortresses of Ben-Hadad will be destroyed. I will break down the gates of Damascus and slaughter the people of the Valley of Avon. I'll destroy the ruler in Beth-Aden, and the people of Aram will go captives to Kir, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sent whole villages into exile, selling them as slaves to Edom. So I will send down fire in the walls of Gaza, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. I will slaughter the people of Ashdod and destroy the king of Ashkelon. Then I will return to attack Ekron, and the few Philistines still left will be killed, says the sovereign Lord. This is what the Lord says. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves to Edom. So I will send down fires on the walls of Tyre, and its fortresses will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They chased down their relatives, the Israelites, with swords showing no mercy. In their rage, they slashed them continually and were unrelenting in their anger. So I'll send down fire on Teman, and the fortresses of Bozrah will be destroyed. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. When they attacked Gilead to extend their borders, they ripped open pregnant women with their swords. Ugh. So I'll send down fire in the walls of Reba, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. The battle will come upon them with shouts like a whirlwind in a mighty storm, and their king and princes will go into exile together, says the Lord. Chapter 2. This is what the Lord says. The people of Moab have sinned again and again, and I'll not let them go unpunished. They desecrated the bones of Edom's king, burning them to ashes. So I'll send down fire on the land of Moab, and all the fortresses in Kiriath will be destroyed. The people will fall into the noise of battle as the warriors shout and the ram's horn sounds. And I'll destroy their king and slaughter all their princes, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. God's judgment on Judah and Israel. The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They have rejected the instruction of the Lord, refusing to obey his decrees. They've been led astray by the same lies that deceived their ancestors. So I'll send down fire on Judah, and the fortresses of Jerusalem will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I'll not let them go unpunished. They will sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust and shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same women, corrupting my holy name. As the religious festivals, they lounge in clothing their debtors put up as security. In the house of their gods, they drink wine with unjust fines. But as my people watched, I destroyed the Amorites, though they were as tall as cedars and as strong as oaks. I destroyed the fruit on their branches and dug out their roots. It was I who rescued you from Egypt and who led you through the desert for 40 years, so you could possess the land of the Amorites. I chose the name of some of your sons to be prophets and others to be Nazarites. Can you deny this, my people of Israel? Asked the Lord. But you've caused the Nazarites to sin by making them drink wine, as you commanded the prophets to shut up. So I'll make you groan like a wagon loaded down with sheaves of grain. Your fastest runners will not get away. The strongest among you will become weak. Even mighty warriors will be unable to save themselves. The archers will not stand their ground. The swiftest runners won't be fast enough to escape. And even those riding horses won't be able to save themselves. On that day, the most courageous of your fighting men will drop their weapons and run for their life, says the Lord. Brutal, man. Chapter 3. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, Israel, against the entire family I rescued from Egypt. From among the families on earth, I have been intimate with you alone. That is why I must punish you for all your sins. Witnesses against guilty Israel. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does a trap spring shut when there's nothing to catch? When the ram's horn blows a warning, shouldn't the people be alarmed? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord plans it? Indeed, the sovereign Lord does nothing until he reveals his plan to his servants, the prophets. The sovereign Lord never does anything. I guess I'm same thing. The lion has roared, so who isn't frightened? The sovereign Lord has spoken, so who can refuse to proclaim his message? Announce this to the leaders of Philistia and to the great ones of Egypt. Take your seats now on the hills around Samaria and witness the chaos and oppression in Israel. My people have forgotten how to do right, says the Lord. Their fortresses are filled with wealth, taken by theft and violence. Therefore, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming. He will surround them and shatter their defenses, and they will plunder all their fortresses. This is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only two legs or a piece of an ear. So it will be for the Israelites in Samaria, lying in luxurious beds, and for the people of Damascus, reclining on couches. Now listen to this and announce it throughout all Israel, says the Lord, the God of heaven's armies. On the day I punish Israel for its sin, I'll destroy the pagan altars at Bethel. The thorns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. And I'll destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions and their summer houses too, and all their palaces filled with ivory, says the Lord. Chapter 4, Israel's failure to learn. Listen to me, you fat cows living in Samaria. All right. You women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and you who are always calling to your husbands, bring us another drink. The sovereign Lord has sworn this by his holiness. The time will come when you'll be led away with hooks in your noses. Every last one of you will be dragged away like a fish on a hook. You'll be led out through the ruins of the wall and you'll be thrown from fortresses, says the Lord. Go ahead and offer sacrifices to the idols at Bethel. Keep on disobeying at Gilgal. Offer sacrifices each morning and bring your tithes every 3 days. Present your bread made with yeast as an offering of thanksgiving. Then give your extra voluntary offering so you can brag about it everywhere. This is the kind of thing you Israelites love to do, says the sovereign Lord. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I kept the rain from falling when your crops needed it most. I sent rain on one town and withheld it from another. Rain fell in one field while another field withered away, but staggered from town to town looking for water, but there's never enough. But still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your figs and olive trees, but you still would not return to me, says the Lord. I sent plagues on you like the plagues I sent to Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and led your horses away. The stench of death filled the air, but you still would not return to me, says the Lord. I destroyed some of your cities as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like charred sticks pulled from a fire. but you still would not return to me, says the Lord. Therefore, I will bring upon all the disasters I've announced. Prepare to meet your God in judgment, the people of Israel. That is scary. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, and reveals his thoughts to mankind. He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord is the God of heaven's, the Lord God of heaven's armies is his name. Chapter 5, A Call to Repentance. Listen, you people of Israel, listen to this funeral song I'm singing. The virgin Israel has fallen, never to rise again. She lies abandoned on the ground with no one to help her up. The sovereign Lord says, when a city sends 1,000 men to battle, only 100 will return. When a town sends 100, only 10 will come back alive. Now this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel. Come back to me and live. Don't worship at the pagan altars at Bethel. Don't go to the shrines at Gilgal or Beersheba. For the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Come back to the Lord and live. Otherwise, he'll roar through Israel like a fire, devouring you completely. Your gods in Bethel won't be able to quench the flames. You twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the oppressed. You treat the righteous like dirt. It is the Lord who created the stars and Pleiades and Orion. He turns darkness into morning and day into night. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. With blinding speed and power, he destroys the strong, crushing all their defenses. How you hate honest judges. How you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you'll never lie in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you'll never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart keep their mouths shut, for it's an evil time. Do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the Lord, the God of heaven's armies, will be your helper, just as you've claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet, the Lord of God of heaven's armies will have mercy on the remnant of his people. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of heaven's army, says. They will be crying in all the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you and summon professional mourners to wail. They will be wailing in every vineyard, for I destroyed them all, says the Lord. Warning of coming judgment. What sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you're wishing for. The day will bring darkness, not light. In that day, you'll be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against a wall in his house and is bitten by a snake. Yes, the day of the Lord will be dark and hopeless without a ray of joy or hope. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your peace offerings. Away with you, your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Was it me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, Israel? No, you served your pagan gods, Sakath, your king god, and Kawan, your star god, the images you made for yourselves. So I will send you into exile to a land east of Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of heaven's armies. Chapter 6. What sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem, and you who feel secure in Samaria. You're famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you for help. But you go over to Kelna and see what happened there. Then go to the great city of Hamath and go down to the Philistine city of Gath. You are no better than they were. You look and look at how they were destroyed. You push every thought of coming disaster, but your actions only bring the day of judgment closer. How terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and who lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock and choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp and fancy yourselves that the great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowlful and perfume yourselves with fragrant lotions. You care nothing about the ruin of your nation. Therefore, you'll be the first people to be led away as captives. Suddenly, all your parties will end. The sovereign Lord is sworn by his own name. And this is what the Lord God of heaven's army says. I despise the arrogance of Israel, and I hate their fortresses. I will give the city and everything in it to their enemies. If there were 10 men left in one house, they will all die. And when a relative who's responsible to dispose of the dead goes into the house to carry out the bodies, he'll ask the last survivor, is anyone else with you? And when the person begins to swear, no, by, he will interrupt and say, stop, don't even mention the name of the Lord. When the Lord gives the command, homes both great and small will be smashed to pieces. Can horses gallop over boulders? Can oxen be used to plow them? But that's how foolish you are when you turn justice into poison and the sweet fruit of righteousness into bitterness. And you brag about your conquest of Lodabar. You boast, didn't we take Karnam by our own strength? O people of Israel, I'm about to bring an enemy nation against you, says the Lord God of heaven's armies. They'll oppress you throughout your land from Leb Hamath in the north to the Araba Valley in the south. Wow, that's so brutal. Chapter 7, A Vision of the Locusts. The Sovereign Lord showed me a vision. I saw him preparing to send a vast swarm of locusts over the land. This was after the king's share had been harvested from the fields and as the main crops were coming up. In my vision, the locusts ate every green plant in sight. Then I said, O Sovereign Lord, please forgive us, or we will not survive, for Israel is so small. So the Lord relented from his plan. I will not do it, he said. A vision of fire. When the Lord showed me another vision, I saw him preparing to punish his people with the great fire. The fire had burned up to the depths of the sea and was devouring the entire land. Then I said, O Sovereign Lord, please stop or we'll not survive, for Israel is so small. Then the Lord relented from his plan too. I will not do that either, said the Sovereign Lord. A vision of a plumb line. Then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? I answered, a plumb line. And the Lord replied, I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins. The pagan shrines of your ancestors will be ruined, and the temples of Israel will be destroyed. I'll bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to a sudden end. Amos and Amaziah. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is hatching a plot against you right here on your very doorstep. What he's saying is intolerable. He's saying that Jeroboam will soon be killed and the people of Israel will be sent into exile. Then Amaziah sent orders to Amos. Get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is the king's sanctuary and the national place of worship. But Amos replied, I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. Now then, listen to this message from the Lord. You say, don't prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against my people. But this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in this city. Your daughters and sons will be killed, and your land will be divided up, and you yourself will die in a foreign land. And the people of Israel will certainly become captives in exile far from their homeland. Brutal. Chapter 8. I think we're actually, let's see, how much do we have? Oh man, we're actually almost done. What a short day. A vision of ripe fruit. Then the Sovereign Lord showed me another vision. In it, I saw a basket filled with ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. I replied, a basket full of ripe fruit. Then the Lord said, like this fruit, Israel is ripe for punishment. I will not delay their punishment again. In that day, the singing in the temple will turn to wailing. Dead bodies will be scattered everywhere. They'll be carried out of the city in silence. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath to be over and the religious festivals to end so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyer with dishonest scales. And you mix the grain you sell with craft sweat from the floor, chaff. Then you enslave the poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name, the pride of Israel. I will never forget the wicked things you've done. The earth will tremble for your deeds and everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time and will heave up and sink again. In that day, says the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth while it's still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning and your singing into weeping. You'll wear funeral clothes and shave your head to show sorrow as your only son has died. How bitter that day will be. For the time is surely coming, says the Lord, when I'll send a famine to the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, thirsting for the Lord's word. Then those who swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the names of the God of Dan and make vows in the name of the God of Beersheba, will fall down and never to rise again. Wow. All right, here we go. Ugh, my throat. Allergies. Chapter 9, A Vision of God at the Altar. Then I saw a vision of the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, strike the tops of the temple columns so the foundations will shake. Bring down the roof and the heads of the people below, on the heads of the people below. I will kill with the sword those who survive, and no one will escape. Even if they dig down to the place of the dead, I'll reach down and pull them up. And if they climb up to heaven, I will bring them down. Even if they hide at the very top of Mount Carmel, I'll search them out and capture them. Even if they hide at the bottom of the ocean, I'll send the sea serpent after to bite them. Even if their enemies drive them in exile, I'll command the sword to kill them there. I'm determined to bring disaster upon them and not help them. The Lord of heaven's armies, touches the land and it melts and all its people mourn. The ground rises like the Nile River at flood time, then it sinks again. The Lord's home reaches up to the heavens while its foundation is on the earth. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. Are you Israelites more important to me than the Ethiopians, says the Lord? I brought Israel out of Egypt, but I also brought the Philistines from Crete and led the Armenians out of Kir. I, the Sovereign Lord, am watching the sinful nation of Israel. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. but I'll never completely destroy the family of Israel, says the Lord. For I will give the command, and I will shake Israel along with the other nations as grain shaken in a sieve, and yet no one kernel will be lost. But all the sinners will die by the sword, and those who say nothing bad will happen to us. A promise of restoration. In that day, I'll restore the fallen house of David. I'll repair its damaged walls from the ruins. I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Edom, and all the nations I've called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he'll do these things. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I'll bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands, and they'll rebuild the ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens, they'll eat their crops and drink their wine. I'll firmly plant them there in their own land, and they'll never again be uprooted from the land I've given them, says the Lord your God. Amen. Amen, guys. We are done with day number 67. Day number 67 is done. Thank you all for being here. I don't know what is going on with my throat, but praise the Lord. All right. Tomorrow is day 68. Friday is day 70, which means we start the New Testament. The last 20 days of this challenge, we get the New Testament, which I cannot wait for. It'll be much easier to read and digest than this, but this has been amazing. It's been good. We've been going, guys. The theme, I'm seeing this, reading this whole Bible in like such a short time, is the theme of the Bible is the people worship idols. They fall into sin. They cry out to God. God delivers them. They forget the God that delivered them and go right back to their idols. So let us not read 67 days of their mistakes and live out those same mistakes. Let us not live our lives worshiping false gods and idols, doing exactly what they did while reading about them saying, this is terrible. How could they do this? Because we very easily can fall into that ourselves. So let's take this as a warning not to fall into the same idol worship they fell into. Amen. Amen. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. Please support the ministry. You can support with all the links on screen, links in the description. You can become a monthly partner. We have Thursday prayer calls every week at 1 p.m. And then, of course, we start at 2. Thank you, Tanya, for saying I read good. Appreciate you. We have another Tanya in the chat. That's awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. So, yeah, we have, 23 more days left. Oh, wait, no. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. 23. I'm not good at math, but it's okay. Changing my life. I'm glad it's changing your life, Bobby. That's awesome. I love every single one of you. Make sure you watch last night's broadcast. There'll be no live stream tonight. I got other stuff I got to get done tonight. So there's no live stream, no podcast tonight, but we'll be live again tomorrow at 2:00. And then of course, Thursday, Friday and all that. And Friday we start the New Testament. Let's go. Excuse me. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you guys for donating, being here.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.